And the agenda for this Monday morning, we're going to talk with Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, because many of the stories are down there in Washington. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, John. Good morning.
Also, we expect to have with us Jonathan Marcus, BBC diplomatic correspondent, joining us from the BBC headquarters in London. But first, let's begin with you, Todd. The next episode of healthcare reform is going to involve a cameo role, maybe not a cameo role, but maybe more than that, from Senator Joe Lieberman. Listen.
The so-called Medicare buy-in, the opposition to it has been growing as the week has gone on, and though I don't know exactly what's in it, from what I hear, I certainly would have a hard time voting for it because it has some of the same infirmities that the public option did. It will add taxpayer costs, it will add to the deficit. It's unnecessary.
Lieberman seems to be sounding like he doesn't want to vote for the deal that's now on the Senate floor. Todd, is the rest of the week going to be spent trying to coax him back into the tent?
Yeah, the so-called deal. I mean, John, the whole point of this so-called deal in the first place was because Joe Lieberman said a long time ago that public option means no vote from Joe Lieberman. So the question was, could this Medicare buy-in plus the other parts of this deal they were working on bring Lieberman on board? And he was making pretty strong signals on the Sunday shows yesterday that the answer is no. Now, if Lieberman doesn't know exactly what's in it, trust me, a lot of the rest of the senators don't know exactly what's in it. And there's a lot of discussions going on right now in private, back and forth between the Senate leadership and the Congressional Budget Office over how much this costs and how many people it covers. It's certainly not the death knell of the health care bill if Lieberman and a couple of the other conservative Democrats like Ben Nelson say no to this deal. What it does mean is that it's back to the drawing board for Harry Reid and the Democratic leadership yet again. They're not going to let this bill die. What they're going to have to do, though, is keep, you know, weakening the public option, possibly to the point where it's not politically palatable for the left anymore. They
right.
all want the strong public option. And the more that Lieberman and Nelson and maybe Claire McCaskill push on this, the from the perspective of Obama's base, the weaker it gets.
Well, the whole agenda on healthcare is going to be about these individual characters who are going to try to force compromises because it's all about 60 votes. And each individual senator who is balking at this is going to result in their own individual deal. Let's talk about the Congressional Budget Office, which seems to be enshrining itself as a kind of a overall congressional oversight committee. The CBO is going to look at this current health care bill and give some numbers. And Claire McCaskill, who you just referred to over the weekend, says that the CBO's verdict is going to be crucial for her.
Well, the whole reason we're doing this bill is to bring down costs, first for the American people in health care, and secondly for the deficit. So until we get the numbers back from the Congressional Budget Office, we're all on hold until I have to be assured that this is going to bring down the deficit and it's going to bring down health care costs for most Missouri families.
So the CBO, suddenly the new power on Capitol Hill.
It's like a star turn for the Congressional Budget Office, right? It seems like every couple of weeks we come back to that acronym, CBO. I mean, they've always been important with it inside the Beltway. They haven't been this important outside the Beltway. Geez, I don't know in how long. But McCaskill is feeling like a lot of other senators are feeling. They got to see these scores, and they have to see how many people it covers. And it's not just coverage for Americans. It's also coverage for senators. It's political cover on the deficit and on what this bill actually does. You know, they've got some breathing room on this deficit question because remember the original health care bill, the Harry Reid sort of merged bill that we talked about so many weeks ago, had, you know, about a $90 or $100 million cushion of deficit. So he can spend a little bit more on this Medicare buy-in and still get there, but we're all just desperately waiting for these numbers.
And we should note that all of these cost numbers are abstract at this point. You know, this bill isn't even going to go into effect till 2016 at the absolute earliest. Jonathan Marcus, over in London, a week ago we were talking about serious demonstrations inside Iran. Today and all this week we're going to be talking about pushback from the U.S. and Western nations on Iran's nuclear program. What's the latest?
Well, the latest is a very interesting front page story in the Times newspaper of London. The Times has obtained a document, an Iranian technical document, which it says is a document talking about a uranium deuteride neutron source. This is a key element potentially of a nuclear weapon. So the article is essentially saying, crying foul, saying that the Iranians have been found out. The Iranians are indeed, or were certainly up until 2007, working on components of a nuclear weapon. And, of course, the Times is expecting that this is going to have a huge impact on the developing debate now about stronger sanctions against Tehran.
Let's go down the science a little bit. The deuterium is so-called heavy water, and that's a neutron source, which you would only need if you were making a nuclear weapon, right?
This is something called uranium deuteride. UD3 is the chemical formula. And this is essentially something that gives you the source of neutrons that lead to the extraordinary chain reaction that gives you this amazing and fantastic power from a nuclear explosion. Experts and analysts that the Times have spoken to, I've spoken to experts today as well, they say that this particular sort of material has no role in a civil nuclear program. And indeed, it's thought that Pakistan and China, indeed, have also looked at this material for a very similar role, potentially, in their own nuclear weapons.
Jonathan Marcus, where does this go next? To the IAEA, the United Nations Atomic Agency, or does it go to Washington, to the White House?
I think, first of all, one has to say the BBC has not been able to independently verify the bona fides of this document. Let's for a moment assume that the Times is right and the document is what they say it is. Clearly, there are going to be a number of organisations that will want to see this evidence, and I'm sure the IAEA would be one of them. Depending on where the document actually came from, if it came from Western intelligence sources, presumably then Western governments would know about this already. But I think clearly it's going to be something that is going to be waved in front of the Russians and the Chinese. And people will be saying, look, you know, we need tougher sanctions now. If Iran's nuclear program is going to be stopped by diplomatic means. And I think if this piece of evidence is true, and if it's what the Times says it is, then it's going to be much harder for Moscow and Beijing to give Tehran the benefit of the doubt.
So over in Italy, first it was his business dealings, then it was his allegations of dealing with starlets. Now Silvio Berlusconi, the Prime Minister of Italy, attacked by a man who slammed a statuette into his face, breaking his nose and two teeth. Another bizarre episode for Silvio Berlusconi.
Well, it is indeed. I mean, he's an extraordinary political showman, isn't he? Not least the way he stood up after the attack and showed himself to the audience, tried to present himself as being okay. It is a remarkable sort of soap opera story, that of the highest echelons of government in Italy, and it's one we all follow here, I have to say, with a certain amount of amusement as well.
Jonathan Marcus, BBC diplomatic correspondent from Bush House in London. Todd, will Barack Obama get the bankers to reduce their salaries, yes or no?
He's told people he's the only thing standing between them and the pitchforks. So we'll see if he
turns
at the
White House today. There's your agenda. Thanks so much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.